This time on Compassion Radio.
I can't think of a person off the top of my head that we know that has gone to another country for an extended period of time that has not been profoundly changed by the people they met there. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the connection that we have with another culture, with another set of people that don't live the same way we do. And I think that's a beautiful thing when we allow that to happen in our lives.
And when we see the kingdom of God alive and well, and you know that God is there, then we also learn something about how to live the life in the kingdom that we should.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram connects with people here in the United States, as well as those on the other side of the planet who live their lives in a missional way. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy begin a once-a-week in-studio chat on the subject of missional living. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's Bram and Sandy to get things started.
Sandy, it's 2019, and we're going to do something very new for us on Compassion Radio, and hopefully something that's going to mean something for the ministry and for our listeners in the weeks and months to come. We're going to be together going through the Word of God on a special day each week to talk about some of the issues scripturally that tie in with our ethic, which is to live missionally.
Okay.
Now, we as Compassion Radio are all about bringing missional stories to our audience and help people become more than just a listening audience, but an activist body, people that will take up the torch and carry it forward and join in and lend a hand and lend a shoulder, whatever, to help lift this boat and get it in the water and get it moving. Nice metaphors there, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay. So what we decided to do was talk about what it means to live missionally, and then we realized from our own devotional life that we've been doing this very thing ourselves in the morning by studying the Word of God together, and a lot of couples do this. A lot of couples don't, because so many Christians, many people I know in my own church, have never ever been mentored in what it means to sit down and actually work through the Word of God intentionally, not just to read it and stare at it, but to, with another human being, say, what's God teaching you? What ideas come to your mind and heart? How do we understand this better? And in a couple, that can be a very powerful thing if we really do it, because it breaks down walls. And in us, even after being married for almost three decades, we still need to break down walls, tearing down the ones that come up between us. And studying the Word of God is probably about the best way I know to break down the walls that creep up. So we decided, you and I, to look at the book of Acts a few months ago, and we went through the entire book and talked about each chapter. We're going to do that with an audience now.
Okay.
And go back and review some of the big themes that you and I have found that have informed and challenged us in this ministry, in the way we think about how we go about doing ministry through Compassion Radio, about the kind of stories that matter, about the way that God is at work and always is at work in people who are pursuing Him. So let's do that.
I'm game.
The book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to have a couple of things that we're going to highlight by reading them to you, and then we'll riff on this for the rest of this program today. We'll come back and do it again next week with another chapter. From Acts 1, the prologue, the writer, Luke, is talking about what he's trying to do for those who are believers, and he mentions a man named Theophilus, which could be a pseudonym, it could be an actual real person, we don't know. But he reminds him about all the things Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to all the apostles he had chosen. So during the time that they're in waiting, not knowing what to do next, Jesus was very busy. He was talking to them day after day after day, reminding them of things he taught all his life on this planet. All kinds of reinforcers, encouragements that are not mentioned specifically here, but he says this did happen.
I get the impression that there's an urgency about what he's telling them, that he's like, I got to get this information to you. I want to be sure that you understand what I'm trying to get across before I know that I'm going to go back to the Father.
He says, after he had suffered, meaning his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs. In other words, evidence that we all can testify to together, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Not just about personal devotion, not just about who God is, but about the kingdom itself, what's coming, and how they're the seed of this new thing. And I think it's very interesting, honey, that this 40 days is the bookend for him. His ministry on earth is literally about to end in the way that we sense it, him being physically present, walking with his disciples. These are 40 days where he is alive to them on this planet, after the resurrection. Mm-hmm. His ministry started with 40 days in the wilderness, mm-hmm. where he disappeared. And people thought maybe he wasn't coming back. But he did, and everyone was ready. That's why I think those calling of the disciples stories seem so strange to us out of context. In context, he'd already made a splash on the scene by being baptized by John in the Jordan, and people said, something's going on here. We heard God speak from heaven. Now where is he? Mm-hmm. Jesus was gone. He just disappeared. And 40 days later, boom, back on the scene. And now we're really ready to go for it. We're in a similar kind of period of waiting before Jesus will ascend to his Father again. But Jesus knows there's urgency here. It was urgent for him in the beginning to survive the temptations and the deprivations. And now it's urgent for him because he's now going to return to his glory, and he's about ready to send them out.
He tells them specifically, here's what you need to know. Mm-hmm. And he's very specific about it. He's not cloaking any of it in parables or veiled teaching at all. It's very specific. You need to know this. You're going to receive power. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and you're going to do greater works than I even did. Mm. He's not mincing words at all with them. He's very direct in what he's telling them that's going to happen.
And they had plenty of questions, of course, and it seems like one of the questions kept coming up is, Lord, are you going to now restore your kingdom to Israel? Mm-hmm. Which seemed a very tangible idea for how God was going to restore the things he had begun in the law. But we know now that the kingdom itself is something far beyond just what the law described. Mm-hmm. In fact, books were written later, like Hebrews, that explained it much more thoroughly, that this shadow of the past has now become the light of day. And this new kingdom is about living stones and living temples going to all four corners of the globe. But then they had to know what it meant just to get started. And Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority for the kingdom, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I don't know in any generation where it's ever been different. The power of the Holy Spirit comes on first, and then the witness begins. It's not that we learn enough stuff to be convinced that God is right and then go preach it and the power opens to us.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria on what it means to live our lives in a missional way.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants. To bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever. And that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
It's not that we learn enough stuff to be convinced that God is right and then go preach it and the power opens to us. The power always seems to come first. We've seen that around the world everywhere we've gone. Mm-hmm. It's not to the wise or the powerful or the people who are educated or high in society. It's to the people who are transformed by the Holy Spirit that come the growth and the riches and the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's regardless of your socioeconomic status. Mm. Jesus came to bring that power to us, to reveal that power to us. And then with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, like he said, you're going to do greater works than I did. And that is something that we don't understand. Mm-hmm. We can't comprehend that because we read in all of the Gospels, especially in Mark, he talks explicitly a lot more miracles that Jesus did. But we hear about all of these miracles and he cast out demons and he rose people from the dead. And I can't even begin to comprehend how we could do greater miracles than that.
Well, I think we get hung up on the concept of what the miracles mean.
That's true.
The number of times Jesus in his ministry said, you're always looking for a sign. You always want more bread. You want someone to be healed. What are you here for? A spectacle? The kingdom of God is among you. Do you not see it? So even Jesus, the one who had all the power to manipulate matter in this universe and make it do what he wanted to at any given moment, still saw something greater than even that which needed to be done, which was the kingdom needed to grow and to be able to proclaim it into existence. It is now here. It is right in front of you. Can you not see it? In other words, the Spirit has come alive in people, and you need to start looking around you to discover where those people are.
Well, I think it's going to be a transformation of your mind and what kingdom means. Mm-hmm. And here in the United States, we don't really have a concept of what kingdom is. Mm. But I think it's important to note here that it's not about a physical kingdom. The disciples are wanting to know, when are you going to restore the kingdom in the land of Israel, in the actual physical place?
Restore the borders.
Yeah. And we have to realize that that kingdom is within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are the kingdom of Israel. We are the kingdom of God.
And we're ambassadors, and we're outposts, and we're temples everywhere we go.
And we're priests, and all of that.
All simultaneous.
Yeah.
And it also means that we have a link and a fellowship and an identity that is closer and more fast and more secure and more permanent with some little believer who may be a peasant farmer in the backwoods of India or in the rice paddies of Thailand, or in a logging camp in Siberia, than we have with anybody in our own culture who doesn't know and experience the power of a living God. We are closer to them in every imaginable way to what God says is family than we are to people in our own families at home who have rejected the Lord. Mm-hmm. How often do we really, really treat them that way? We maybe talk about sending dollars to help a church in this country, or maybe send a missionary to go preach to those Muslims. Do we ever sit down and say, I am more closely and intimately related to the believers that are in those countries than I am to people I know every day here in my own town? Do we really think about that?
Probably not. We probably think we're more closely connected to the people that are in closer proximity to us than those across the world.
I don't know of anybody in my life that I've seen that's gone to countries that are foreign to them and sat down with believers in those countries that didn't instantly find a connection they were not expecting in ways they were not able to even give words to, but you knew you were home.
Well, we've heard stories, and just recently we did an interview with Cindy Woodward, where she spoke about a gentleman that she came in contact with who knew three words of English and she knew three words of German. And yet they were able to communicate the love of Jesus to each other. They were able to communicate how they came to know the Lord because there was that Holy Spirit connection between them. And she spoke about that. And I think that is so interesting to even consider. And we've experienced that. I have experienced that traveling around the world, meeting people that we don't share common culture or common language. And we're able to communicate our love of Christ and our story to them. And we're able to hear their story in such a way that we can understand that they've come through a crisis, they've come through a great victory. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to know about them, that connection happens.
It is the embodiment of what Jesus was saying about the greatest commandment. He said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't know God and experience him without experiencing those who are your neighbors in him. It's not just about people who live near you. There is an element of compassion and witness and openness that happens to anybody on this planet if you're willing to. Mm-hmm. But there's also a special unique connection with those who are your neighbors in Christ. Who's my neighbor? Let me tell you a story. The one who had compassion on this man. Let me tell you his story. And then you find out it was the outcast that came and saved this man. Who was the neighbor to him? The one who had compassion and did something. And we connect with the body around the world by the things that we do. Every church knows this. We send missionaries, we send relief, we engage with, we encourage, we learn from. And the strongest churches that I've seen are the ones that go to sit at the feet of godly people in other cultures and learn what God can teach them through their lives mm-hmm. as well, and mm-hmm. bring that lesson back and help their body to grow.
Mm-hmm. We have to be teachable.
Yeah, and teachable, and we have to be lovable
mm-hmm.
in two different ways. We have to be lovable in allowing people to love us, and we have to be the kind of people that can be loved and not be so prickly all the time, so unlovable or purposely antagonizing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think that that's our witness in the world is to antagonize people. That's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
At the other end of it, love is a very strong thing. It is not a mushy, cushy thing. It's not something that just bends at every whim. Love is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the love that comes from God is a kind that is like a laser. It shows the truth, and it does it in such a way with great authority that there's no mistaking that God is here.
Mm-hmm. I think another way that it is impossible to show our love of Christ to others is through arrogance.
Mm.
And sometimes we want to go to these remote places and show them how smart we are.
Yeah.
Show them how much we know.
Or how much God has blessed us because of all this stuff.
Right. Or show them how much we know about the Word and what you said about allowing them to teach us. I can't think of a person off the top of my head that we know that has gone on a mission trip or has gone to another country for an extended period of time that has not been profoundly changed by the people they met there.
Yeah.
And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the connection that we have with another culture, with another set of people that don't live the same way we do. And I think that's a beautiful thing when we allow that to happen in our lives.
And when we see the kingdom of God alive and well, and you know that God is there, then we also learn something about how to live the life in the kingdom that we should. Mm-hmm. Because we see the way they love each other. We see the way that they reach out to others. It was always through Scripture, the evidence of real fellowship, of real love among the body, that was the prime evidence that the kingdom of God was alive.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't being right all the time. It wasn't even being rich because you worked hard and helped each other. It wasn't about being culturally superior to others. The kingdom of God was always proven to be vibrant and alive when there was love amongst the family.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go somewhere and you realize that you have nothing to offer but your gratitude. Gratitude is one of the strongest and most important and elemental components of genuine love.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to love people by being grateful for who they are, sometimes because of what they've done for you, other times because they're doing the thing that you know you should have done in the first place, and they're giving you a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, when God's Spirit stirs in you and says, be grateful for that because they please me, your gratitude also pleases God. And begins the possibility of real relationship and admiration and love between people that for any other reason would have no reason to know each other. The kingdom of God makes it possible and inevitable that we are going to know each other and to love each other from here and into eternity. How much better to front load that.
Get it started here.
Yes, and experience that love now.
Yeah. I think it's important that we circle back around to what's happening in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
where the angels come down and say, what are you doing staring at the clouds now that Jesus has gone up into heaven? We need to take a lesson from that as well. We can get so excited about what we're seeing happening that we're involved in our churches or even in missions that we forget that there's still work to do.
Yes.
Being reminded by heavenly messengers, hey, why are you staring at the clouds?
Yeah.
Get to work.
Duh.
They go back. And they go back into Jerusalem and they
prayed.
They got together and they prayed and the Holy Spirit came on them in power. And then I think it's really interesting, this very gruff, rough Peter stands up. This man was a fisherman for most of his life, is not learned in the scriptures.
That we know of.
That we know of.
Although he spent an awful lot of time with the word himself.
He did. We don't have evidence that he spent a lot of time in school learning the scriptures. Just saying. But he stands up and he speaks boldly the truth. And shares the truth of the gospel.
Okay, so Jesus is gone, and Peter is now with the disciples, and the Holy Spirit has not descended yet. That's coming up in chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we know a great outpouring of power is coming, but because Jesus has been there, and because he gave them very specific instructions, and because he said, get ready, Peter's brave now with the body. So what does he say?
Well, he basically shares their story. He quotes the Old Testament. He talks about David and how David foretold the crucifixion of Jesus, and he foretold Judas' betrayal. He preaches them a sermon to remind them of their history, to remind them of what they have just walked through, basically, in the last 3 years. And then he says, Lord, you know our hearts.
Yeah.
I mean, he prays to this Jesus that just ascended back into heaven. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know our hearts. You know that we want to fulfill the ministry that you've called us to do. Well, we don't know what to do next.
And they had an important job to do, probably one that Jesus said to do before he left, find a replacement for Judas. So that's implied in the story, because the first big thing they do is replace him in the 12. Mm-hmm. And that is the first decision they have to make as a body, and they have to be unified in the spirit to do it.
So I think this is a good example of spending extended time in prayer to be in agreement with one another.
Yeah. And that can still happen, be practiced in every church and every place on this planet, if we're willing. Not just with the elders of the church, although they should be showing that example for us by actually unifying in prayer together and at length, and even fasting if necessary. We together in our own home fellowships, husband and wife, people that gather together on a weekly basis for Bible study and fellowship, or the whole church body together can dedicate themselves and should, when the Holy Spirit inspires them to do so, to pray fervently for an answer to a question that God's Spirit has put in their hearts.
Well, I think it's important for our relationship, even for our family, that when we're making a decision that will impact something very serious in our families, that we should be in agreement. Mm. We should pray that the Spirit will bring agreement between husband and wife, between partners, that this is the will of God concerning us.
And not just that we're asking God to agree with our agreement.
Right.
But that God would bring us into agreement with the truth, and therefore we'd know the heart of God in the first place, that we'll be in agreement with Him, because that was the best option anyway. So let's end this first episode, or this first exercise in faith stretching in the Word together, with some prayer, shall we?
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to approach your Word in fellowship and encourage, and in the encouragement of being together with people that love you. In my case, I have my wife across the table from me. I'm thankful for her input in my heart, but more than that, her presence with me in pursuing you. I pray that this example that we try to live out in front of our Compassion Radio family will be one that would grow, that more couples would take the time and be courageous in sitting down together and spending time studying your word together, that you would give them courage to speak out as your Spirit inspires them to do so in fellowships where they have the opportunity. Maybe it's a small group fellowship or a home church that they're part of, and maybe they've never done it. Maybe they've just kind of leaned on the wisdom or the maturity of others, but they know that you're calling them to be engaged. Help them to be courageous in that right now. And Lord, bring us back together around this table again, ready to study your word, to grow in you, and become more missional, like we're going to watch all of these heroes of the faith become throughout the book of Acts. In your name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and take a few moments to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. And if this broadcast is a blessing to you, please consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to donate using your smartphone, you can do that just by texting the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We really appreciate you. Please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.